Hey friends, when you can, grab your Bible and turn with me to Ephesians, Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the third chapter, Ephesians 3, your own Bible, or maybe you've got one on a device, or grab one from the pew in front of you, Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll remain standing to give reverence to God's Word as we hear it. Ephesians 3, Paul goes from just flat out preaching and teaching and encouraging, and he pauses, not to give you a chance to breathe, but he pauses to breathe a breath of prayer and praise to the Father. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray. Gracious Father, you are kind, and so we're thankful that we do not live by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, our hearts, that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. Y'all, have you ever been to a place? Have you ever been to a place where you had tickets to maybe a concert, big name, and then the opening act was so good you felt like you could go home? That's kind of how I feel today. Gosh, I feel like we've heard the word. We've heard the word. New year, new word. That's our message series for the first couple of months of 2025. I feel like we've heard a word, the word, God's word for us. I do want to say before I go any further, with Constantine Bongard, our friend you said it the right way. From Kazakhstan, but ethnically German, born in Ukraine, but now lives in Uzbekistan. Can you get all those countries and nationalities like mixed? So with Constantine this weekend is also a friend, Caleb Bermudez. Caleb and his wife Claire were on staff with CRU, Campus Crusade, served in Kazakhstan, in the U.S., and then again back in Kazakhstan, our times together. We knew Caleb and Claire before they were Caleb and Claire together. And so excited. Caleb is based now in Philadelphia and works with a ministry that supports discipleship in Central Asian countries. Is that a good way to? Kingdom Reign. Kingdom Reign is the name of that organization. So glad to have Caleb here as well. New year, new word. New year, new word. At the beginning of the year, we intentionally left. I intentionally left. So this was our Advent candles were here. And we intentionally left this table here and added this visual element, this oversized Bible. Maybe you've been in places that had a pulpit Bible. It's really bigger. You wouldn't want to put that in your backpack and carry it, around with you. It's King James, so I'm not going to read from it every week. Although I tell you, some of you are King James aficionados, and I tell you, the best Bible translation, right? You know my line. What's the best Bible translation? Look at that. Y'all know it. The one you will read. I don't care if it's old or new. The best Bible translation is the one that you'll read. One reason I put this here is as kind of a silent reminder. A silent reminder that it is God's word that endures. It's the word before every other word. It's the word after every other word. And I'll tell you, maybe this was my invitation to myself unwillingly preparing a series titled so boldly, New Year, New Word. The beginning of this year has been a hard season to hear, for me, to hear the Word. I'm thankful, though, for the Lord's faithfulness, because God is faithful, His Word is faithful, and His Word is persistent. And this is a word, but both of like a confession, but it's also a word of encouragement. Because maybe you've begun this year or another season, or maybe this year is just one more year when you found it hard to hear the Lord's Word. For me, it came in tired after the holidays and a wedding. Patty, some of you know this, Patty was hospitalized for a weekend. And then after that, we both got the flu or COVID or something and were down, like our bodies were tired and our souls were tired. And it made it hard to hear. And so I'm telling this, I'm preaching to myself and I'm preaching to you. Just because it's hard to hear doesn't mean God has stopped speaking. I mean, hold that with me for a minute, because you've lived, if you're not living now through a season where you're having a hard time hearing what God's having to say, then you can at least identify that with maybe sometime in the past. And you know it's true. God doesn't stop speaking, so don't make that mistake. And I'm so glad to be in Ephesians. We're in Ephesians. I'm glad I didn't mention it, but you saw it when you came in. We're partnering with Wycliffe Bible Translators to get Ephesians into a Western Ugandan language in Africa. All they have right now is Luke and Jonah in their Bible, in their language. We're going to get Ephesians there by God's grace and provision. Somebody told me last week, I'm glad we're translating Ephesians, because verse by verse, Ephesians has more power than any other letter in the New Testament. And I think that's true. More power. And so the word that God has whispered into my heart is the word more. And that's a dangerous word. So if you're like a note taker, new year, new word, the word for today is more. That's a dangerous word. Y'all, it's really an America. It's not just an American word, but I think it appeals to our American tendency, our nation's desire. What is it we sing? We sing about our country. We say, from sea to shining sea, right? We want all the land. We want more land, right? We want more land. And I am not making a political commentary one way or the other. I'll probably get in trouble just for mentioning it. But you know, this whole conversation of like North American territorial advancement and expansion, I mean, that's like in the headlines again. I thought that was like history book stuff. Like, we're going to go this way, and now all of a sudden we want Canada and Greenland? And what? I don't know if we know what to do with the land we have. All right, sorry. I'll get emails about that. Why do we want more? That's the question, though. Why do we want more? Why do we want more? And what do we want more of? More, for Americans anyway, more is at the heart of our economics. We want everything, whether it's our professional life or our personal finances. We want it always to be up and to the right. We want more. And if we're not careful, more creeps into our spiritual lives. It creeps into our Christian lives in a way that can be insidious. Now, there is a way, because Paul prays for it here, there is a way to pursue more. There is a way to pursue more. So I want to ask you, do you ever find yourself unsatisfied? Do you find yourself asking, striving for more? And here's what happens sometimes. We feel burdened. We can feel burdened in our relationship with God, and we have a conversation that says, you know, if I only did more, if I only prayed more, if I only served more, or maybe it's not more, it's less. If I only prayed more and I only sinned less. And we can find ourselves in a heaviness. We can find ourselves trapped and striving and borne downward. But I love Paul's way about talking about more. Or really not even talking about it. Because Paul, from the start here, he says, I'm praying more. I'm praying more. We get to this place in Ephesians. I said it, Paul stops his lecturing. He stops his teaching. He steps off of the platform of giving us doctrine, but he's actually giving us doctrine. We don't know it. But he steps into this season of encouragement, and he's overwhelmed that it's not his thoughts or it's not his words. He's so overcome with the mercy and the goodness of God that all he can do is praise Him and pray to Him. There's his definition of more. The only way we become aware of more is through prayer. More through prayer. Again, I don't want you to hear, pray more, like I'm, you know, going to scold you. It's not more prayer. It's how to get more through prayer. Paul says it, verse 14, "For this reason I kneel before the Father." For this reason I kneel before the Father. Throughout the Bible, you know this, kneeling is the posture commonly connected to prayer. And we have a little bit of uneasiness, some of us, because our worship space, there's not a place where it's easy for people my age and older to kneel. Because, right, what do they tell you? After a certain point in life, you don't kneel, you don't get down on the ground without a what? Without a plan to get back up. And if you've got an old-fashioned kneeling rail, right, you can kneel and then you can hold on to that joker while you get back up, right? Now, we're just kind of wide open up here. But there is good news in the Bible. There is not an official body posture for prayer. Do you know that? There is not an official body posture for prayer. There is not a religious regulation. Paul says, "I'm kneeling," and that's a great way. That's a great way to pray. But we see this in the Bible. Solomon stood when he prayed for the dedication of the temple. Solomon stood. So that's what a lot of us do now. We just stand. If you respond to an invitation, come and stand. David sat before the Lord to pray about the future of his kingdom. Or Jesus, you know this, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane in that moment of agony. What did he do? Fell face down on the ground. So lots of postures of the body. But what the Bible's interested in and what Paul's interested in is not the posture of the body, but the posture of the heart. Not the posture of the body, what you're doing physically, but the posture of the heart. And really each one of those postures of the body kind of gives us some insight into the posture of the heart. When I think about Jesus laying face down, doesn't that bring you this idea of humility? Like, where else do you lay face down? Forward down. Hardly anywhere else. It's a place of like physically being as low as you possibly can. Right? Something in life. Nobody really has to teach us this. But we absorb this idea that we're supposed to stand up straight. Right? Put your shoulders back. Kind of if you have size or height, use that to your advantage, right? Physically. And you know what it's like. I know what it's like when two out of my three boys, anyway, are now taller than me and bigger than me. And they look at me, I try to tell them something, and I think, I don't want to push this because they could take me. But humility is the opposite of that. Yeah, Matt, I mean you. Humility is the opposite of that. It's not flexing. It's falling. Humility, the posture of the heart. Sitting, when I think about David sitting in the presence of the Lord, sitting really is patience. If face down, if that's humility, one way, the posture of the heart as we approach God, sitting is patience. That's what you do when you go to an appointment. You sit and you wait. Now, we figured out ways, right, to distract ourselves, and you got the magazines that are 5 years old, and you can do all that. But really, sitting is patience. Kneeling, for Paul and for us, kneeling is dependence. You know, kneeling before God, that kind of kneeling, it's the same in the ancient world. It's the same thing that you would do to maybe to a king or some noble, someone that had power and authority over you. There's literally this posture of kneeling, and I'm going to do it and I can hold on to this if I can't get back up. But you go down, and if you want to ask something from your master or from your king, you kneel before them, like they're standing right in front of you, and you reach up. And so this very gesture, sometimes we think of kneeling like with our heads down, but the ancient gesture was to go with the head up so that what? Like your most exposed, like your neck is fully exposed to the person who you are pleading with. So that if you didn't have their favor, right, you're putting your life literally, because if they didn't receive your ask, your request, all they had to do was just, you know, like literally slit your throat and you were done. So kneeling, it's a posture of surrender. My life is no longer my life. I trust you completely. Where do we need? Look, I did that without holding on. I know, right? I need encouragement, right? Dependence in prayer. And again, I don't want to be careful. I don't want you to hear like pray more. I want you to have encouragement. And maybe for you it is like pray more and scroll less, or pray more and eat less, or pray more and worry less. Maybe you need that encouragement and that reminder, but I'm not here to load you with guilt or with shame. I want to tell you, not more prayer, but find more of God's presence and power through prayer. Find more through prayer. Somebody needs this. The source for more, whatever it is, fill in the more, whatever you think you need, the source is not where you're looking right now. It's not that empty well that you go to time and time again and you expect water and it is dry and it is dusty and it is not going to ever give you life. The more that you need, it'll only come through prayer, through that humility, that patience, that dependence that Paul lives out for us. You know, he gets to this point. He loves this church, Ephesians, in Ephesus. He helped start this church. He's a part of it. And he's teaching them. He's trying to give them everything that the Spirit of God has put on him to give them. And he gets to a point where he knows they're not going to get the more they need just by him telling them, here's the more. So he stops teaching and he prays. More through prayer. Now he tells them what he's praying for as he's praying to the Lord in front of them. More strength. Hear this again. I pray. You know, this is a crazy path. Verses from verse 14 to verse 19. This is all in Paul's original. This is one sentence. Like you can't even, he barely even comes up for air. He's like gasping and praying. So more strength. Paul needed more strength just to like write without breaking his quill or whatever he's writing with. Because he's like passionate with this. But he says, more strength. I pray that out of his glorious riches, his, that is the Father's, I pray that the Father may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. More through prayer, it's more strength. That's what he's praying. More strength for you. Some of you have strength goals, physical fitness or health goals. You want to lift more or run more or walk or swim. Maybe you are an athlete. Maybe it is achievement. Maybe it is simply appearance. I saw a fellow walking, talked to a fellow walking on Bluff Drive one day, and he said, you want to know why I walk? I walk today so I can still walk tomorrow. I like that. I like that. It's not so much more. We're not going for faster. We're not going for leaner, although those are benefits. The more was simply endurance. The more was simply endurance. Physical endurance strengthens our bodies. Paul says God wants to give you more, not more on the outside, but more on the inside. Not your gain so you can see it in the mirror, not your pace time, But I want to strengthen you through His Spirit in your inner being. Paul wants you to know in the depth of who you are that if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're a child of God, if you've trusted Jesus by faith, that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit now lives not in some distant place, not in the church or with the pastor, but that the Spirit of God lives within you. Now, you may have forgotten to tune into Him, but He lives within you. I want you to be strengthened through His Spirit in your inner being. He wants you to know that the Holy Spirit lives in you. When Paul prays for strength, he's praying for courage. And deep in the story, every story of courage is the story of another person's presence, another person's encouragement. You know, if you're a fan, if you like the Rocky movies, I was listening to a sermon the other day. It said every Rocky movie is a sermon. Just something all through Rocky. You remember Rocky's trainer Mickey? All of his saying, "The fight ain't over till you heard the bell." Right? Rocky couldn't be Rocky without Mickey. Right? Right there telling him what was true and what was good. If you're a fantasy fan, Frodo needed Samwise Gamgee to get him to the final challenge and get him all the way to Mordor and to take the ring and destroy it there. You got to say it that way, Mordor, right, with a little R on the end. That's how you know you're real, right? That's right. I'm gatekeeping. The Marvel Cinematic Universe, you watch all these Marvel movies, and it's not anymore about just one superhero, but it's about a team, a group of heroes who encourage one another. And for the Christian, for the follower of Jesus, more strength comes from the growing awareness of the Holy Spirit is your encourager, that the Holy Spirit is the presence of Jesus dwelling with you. John writes in his letter, you dear children, I think we've already heard this, are from God and you've overcome them because the one who is in you, not the one you know about, not the one you read about, but the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. More strength. And more strength needs to more love. More strength needs to more love. Look at how Paul describes the love he wants you to know. I want you to have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high. Wait a minute, and deep. It's been a minute since I took geometry, but there were only three dimensions the last time I checked. And he's like giving us four things. So it's like not even measurable. Tell me that Paul stumbled into theoretical physics before he knew he stumbled into theoretical physics. You can't contain this. This is more dimensions than you can get your brain around. But Paul says, I'm praying that the love of Christ will fill you up. Will fill you up. He'll stretch you. That's what he's saying here. He's going to stretch your capacity to receive His love. He's going to stretch his capacity to receive His love. It's time for the band to come because, y'all, you're tired of hearing me say this, but the Baptists, I can see them. They're out the door for their service. So we just got to do this. One thing, before COVID, anybody remember before COVID, you could go to a fast food restaurant and they would have these little paper cups for you to pump full of ketchup or mustard or whatever you're, and I learned this, I think from one of my kids, that if you kind of stretched the edge of that little paper cup, instead of getting like one tablespoon of ketchup in there, you could stretch the edges and you could fit about three tablespoons of ketchup. Like you could fill that thing up and not have to make the trip back and forth to the dispenser. If you're open to the love of God, that's exactly what God will do in your heart. He'll give you a little bit of love, but then as He works on you by the power of the Spirit, He'll stretch your capacity both to receive His love and to give His love. So I want to tell you today a couple of things. One, what's the whole point? More through prayer, more strength, more love. Here's the point. I think there are folks here today who have not yet come to know Christ. And maybe they think that they can't quite be loved. And so I want to invite you to come to Christ and trust in Him as your Savior. You won't know His love until after you've opened yourself. Stretch the edges and let Him fill you with the measure of all the fullness of, all the measure of the fullness of ketchup, but all the measure of the fullness of God. There's some who need to come to Christ. You know His forgiveness, and it's time for you to listen to Him and walk with Him and to serve Him as Lord. Maybe that's your invitation to come and ask God to stretch you with love so that you can follow Him as Lord. Maybe your place is to come in to the church, not just to follow Christ as a loner, as an individual, but to find your place in a group, a community with a Christian friend. Because Paul says this, the promise is that you'll know this together, verse 18, together with all the Lord's holy people, not as a bunch of individuals, but you'll know this together. Or maybe it's your place to come alongside Christ now as a disciple maker. You know, you don't think you do, but you know enough about Jesus to tell somebody else and to teach somebody else and to help shape someone else in their life in Christ. To lead folks who don't know Him at all to begin to know Him. And so that's the more. That's the more for you this morning. Friends, as we pray and as we sing, I want you to know that Christ is offering you not a demand to do more, but He's opening your heart through Christ so that you could receive more. More strength, more love, more from His heart through prayer. If you'd like to pray, maybe some of you have already come and pray, that's great. And maybe there's a new thing that God's put on your heart. So come again as we sing. Our prayer team, who we got? I think we got prayer helpers that will be coming up here. I'm supposed to know who it is, but y'all see them. Let's pray together. God, You're good, and we count on You. We count on You to love us, and we want to give You the space to stretch us and to challenge us and to change us. Give us more through Christ. Amen.